Raised on D&D Podcast helps to enrich your family's gaming experience by bringing you interviews with parents, educators, game designers, and influencers. Join us as we delve into the many ways that tabletop role-playing games inspire creativity, develop communication skills, and create long-lasting bonds among players. Your host has been an avid gamer since childhood, and now his kids are being raised on D&D. Here is your host, Nick Cardarelli.
Welcome back, gamers. I'm your host, Nick Cardarelli, and this is Raised on D&D. My next guest is in Ohio. He's the artist and writer of Rogue Magic, a TTRPG-inspired fantasy story. He also makes custom character art and spec sheets. He's working towards publishing Rogue Magic. Please welcome Jonathan Fountain. Hey, Jonathan. Thanks for being on the show today.
Thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
We are so excited. I love Rogue Magic. I love following you on Instagram and seeing the art and reading the story. But before we jump into all of that, can you take us back to your very first experience with tabletop role-playing games and Dungeons & Dragons? Where did your love for that begin?
Well, actually playing tabletop RPGs when I knew I was going to talk to you, I actually looked at like the dates of different pictures I drew. And I think it was almost exactly 4 years ago that I actually was getting ready for the first actual Dungeons and Dragons game that I ever played in. But I think my love of fantasy stories, fantasy style video games, it's kind of funny. Like, I feel like I did it backwards from some people where they start with tabletop RPGs and then that bleeds over into like video games and books and stuff like that. I feel like when I found tabletop RPGs, it was kind of like, oh, this is what, like, this was like kind of what that was all leading up to.
Well, that's fantastic. Kind of RPG inspired video games did you start off playing all those years ago? Are we talking World of Warcraft? Are we talking Neverwinter Nights? What are we talking
about? No, I didn't do anything like that. I'm trying to think. I didn't do a whole lot of, it's been more recently. I know this is, well, I guess it's 10 years old now, but Skyrim was, which I know isn't that far back, but yeah. I guess Skyrim was one of the first games I liked. There was some games put out called Ogre Tactics, where, you know, you were equipping your characters, you were choosing classes, you were naming them, you were, or at least I was, coming up with little backstories for all of them and imagining what their lives were like before I realized that was something you did in D&D and other tabletop RPG games. But I think it was probably more books before it was video games. Like, I was a gamer, but it was probably more like Mario and Halo and stuff like that. And then there was a few games that I had friends that I knew of. Skyrim, and then, like I said, Ogre Tactics were some big ones. When the Souls games, the first Demon Souls and Dark Souls came out, I was huge fan of those. And now I kind of look back at those and I recognize the elements that I love in like D&D and other tabletop RPGs that you're able to flesh out a whole lot more on the table than you are, you know, in a pre-coded video game.
That's awesome. And so you sit down at the table and you go, aha, this is where that came from. So tell us about that first experience 4 years ago when you actually sat down with the dice and the paper.
Yeah, it's cool. And it is, it's weird because I've been doing artwork for people who played the game for a while. Like, I'd been doing custom character sheets. And so I was hearing all these people, which was interesting because as I would draw and people would send me references, they would inevitably tell me like their character's entire backstory and all the spells and stuff that they had equipped. So I've been hearing about what it was like to play for quite a while. And then to sit down and like the game actually started, and this is the first moment of like role play and saying the first thing that your character says in character. And I mean, I remember like kind of like just a little shiver that of like, wow, I'm Darren Wraithbane now. And this is him at the tavern meeting the party the first time. And fortunately I had a great party to play with for the first game, which I think is a huge factor in whether you love or hate the experience and how you kind of look at it going forward. But it was great. My brother was the DM, and he did a really good job of creating ambiance with soundtrack. I'm glad he was our first DM, because if it had been me, I would have just kind of shown up and it would have been theater of the mind. But he really tried to build ambience for it, and we learned stuff that worked better than others. Some of his stuff was so elaborate that it probably took too much time, and we later on said, hey, you know what, maybe this works better than that, because this cuts into a lot of gaming time. But it was great, and I love it. And I love, it's funny because people kind of go after tropes, and you know, meeting in the tavern is, oh, that's so cliche. I love that. Like, I could meet in a tavern or in a prison for every single start of a campaign, and I would never get tired of that. I love those kind of traditional tropes.
That is awesome. And so your brother brings you to the table. So whose idea was it? You said you'd been making characters and things like character art for some time. So did you knew your brother was into D&D and said, hey,
no,
you run
I
the
didn't.
Game?
No, I sorry, I shouldn't interrupt you, but no, I didn't. And that was kind of a weird, just things syncing together. I ended up doing a lot of custom character art and kind of being introduced to this world through this art page that I was getting for the first time really ever a lot of attention on for my artwork, and actually having people pay me to do stuff. And as I was doing that, I was like, man, I kind of wouldn't mind doing this. And my brother, out of the blue, called me up and was like, just apropos of nothing, was like, hey Jonathan, what would you think of us playing D&D sometime? And I was like, dude, I have been like thinking that for months now. So yeah, that I our brains just like apparently synced at the same time, and we're like, this is something that we should have in our lives.
Wow. So 4 years ago he hadn't played either.
And no.
And you guys just decided between you, oh, you go ahead and be the dungeon master.
Yeah, I think he had, you know, I'm sure it's not quite as big of a coincidence as I thought. Obviously, D&D came way more into the general public eye thanks to a certain TV show, and it's obviously become far more mainstream now. So it's probably not quite as big of a coincidence as I make it sound. But yeah, that's how it felt, at least in the moment, that just I was getting introduced through artwork that I was doing, and he through maybe TV shows or just stuff becoming increasingly popular, was like, yeah man, that's, you know, we've always liked Tolkien, and we've liked Lewis, and we've liked Shannara, and we've liked, you know, Redwall, and all of these things, and we like games anyways, and we used to play board games all the time. Why have we not done this?
That is an incredible story. And now, 4 years later, are you playing tabletop role-playing games, Dungeons and Dragons? Are you playing those with your wife and with your children?
I don't play with my wife, who I love, but that is not her thing. And she lets me talk to her about it, which is wonderful. And my kids, I remember, like, now I play Mice and Mystics with them. And that's kind
love
of
Mice and Mystics. Yeah.
Yeah. It's fun. It's sort of hard to go from something that has as role play heavy as D&D to Mice and Mystics, which is very much mechanics. But for their ages, I'd say that's probably more their speed. And I love the narrative element of it. I mean, their eyes just get like so wide when we go over story, and when you find way to insert story and narrative into each tile you go to. I remember the first time we started playing it, and I was trying to create this sense of urgency for the first battle. So they get sucked down into the sewer, and there's a few cockroaches they fight, and then they go into the next room and there's these rats. And I was really trying to build like this exciting narrative element, and I was like, oh, and I don't remember why, but it was urgent that they quickly take out these rats. And like, my daughter is literally jumping up and down and just like starts grabbing dice and doesn't even know what she's doing, just starts throwing dice, like, because we gotta hurry. And like, to her, that's like real time. If she doesn't roll the dice quick, she's gonna be in trouble. And at that point I was like, whoa, okay, I might actually need to rein this in a little bit. We're getting a little bit too excited.
For the folks who are listening and who aren't familiar, Mice and Mystics, of course, is that board game that is a combination between board game and role-playing game. And it has a very Redwall feel to it, right, Jonathan? It's a, you're playing Hero Mice, is that right?
Yeah, and we've been reading Redwall books for years now, and they love those stories, and so it I think was in a lot of ways right up their alley already. They'd kind of been trained to it. So if your kids like Redwall and they're younger, it's a very fun sort of introduction to some of the mechanics of this type of a game. And the nice thing about it is, you know, if you play through it and you're familiar with like a D&D system or really any system, you can just, I mean, like I'm looking forward to when we finish up the main campaigns so that we can kind of like, okay, let's add a little bit more decision-making. Let's add a little bit more problem solving. Let's add a little bit more interactive element rather than just the mechanics. It's, which is one of the great things about tabletop RPGs is you get to bring what works into them and you get to adapt them, and you don't need to worry about somebody changing the rules. You can make it work for you.
And if I'm sure you're aware of it, but for the folks listening who aren't, after they've graduated from Mice and Mystics, there is the role-playing game Mouse Guard. Now, I can't speak for the mechanics, but I do know that that's kind of a Redwall inspired tabletop role-playing game that you can move into.
I've seen the artwork. I like the artwork for Mouse Guard.
The artwork is very nice. Jonathan, how many children do you have and how old are they?
Well, the joke on my art page is that I've got 97, I have a lot. I've got four, and they're between like 2 and 9 years old.
Okay, fantastic. And mine are all little stair steps. I've got a 16-year-old, a 15-year-old, 14-year-old, but we started gaming tabletop role-playing games back when they were 4, 3, 2.5. And that was a watered down version of Dungeons and Dragons. And then there were a few of the RPGs that are specifically designed for young players that we were able to experiment with. And then as they got older, we just integrated, like you mentioned, more narrative, more rules, more kind of first person role play, things like that. And I think that's fantastic that you're starting with Mice and Mystics and already have plans of working them further in. Jonathan, I've got to tell you, I've been a fan of your art from back when you were making custom character sheets and doing character commissions and posting that on the internet. And I was so excited when you started the Rogue Magic story and started putting out the art. I know there's a lot of your fans listening, but for the folks who are unfamiliar with Rogue Magic, can you tell us a little bit about it?
Explaining where it started, like nobody used to follow my artwork at all, which is probably true for every artist that there's ever been. And I'd kind of stepped back from doing character sheets. And I was trying to focus more on improving as an artist than I was on making money anymore. I was just trying to get better. And I was trying to study composition. So I was watching a lot of, a good way to do that, if any artists are out there listening, is to actually watch demo reels from film students. And so I was watching these demo reels, and there was this one scene that came up where it was this male and this female character that were interacting with each other. And I was just watching kind of frame by frame through each scene. And there was this one interaction between these two characters, and I loved it. And I was like, oh man, this is so good. I'm going to use this to base like a picture off of, because I was trying to work on my own composition. And I drew this picture, and I had the anatomy down, it was this male and this female character. Because I love fantasy, I ended up drawing them as this kind of human rogue looking character and this very well-to-do, pretty young, attractive, enthusiastic elf. And I loved the picture so much. Like, I was just thrilled with how it came out. And it's funny, I was like, I'm not going to post this because I know what's going to happen is I'll post it and no one will care about it, and that will crush my feelings. I'm just going to have this as something that I love and go from there. And I kept doing composition studies, and each composition study I did ended up being like a continuation of these two characters. I just kept using these two characters. And as I drew them, a story, kind of narrative, well, like slowly started kind of coming together in my mind based off of that very first picture I drew. And I thought I was done. I was like, okay, I'm done with this composition study. So I won't be, my feelings aren't going to be hurt. I'm not going to lose all my enthusiasm. Now I'm going to go ahead and start posting these. And so I posted the first one, and I just included like a little description of kind of in my mind what the story was, what was going on. And to my great surprise, for me anyways, it got a lot of attention. And I was like, oh, well, that's a nice kind of pleasant surprise. And then I posted the second one, and I was a little more confident with wanting to include kind of the story as it had formed in my mind. And I still wasn't brave enough to actually write anything like story. It was just me describing it. And I described it in D&D terms as well, because that's kind of my audience. So I wasn't trying to trick anyone into thinking it was a real game, but I definitely used D&D terminology. Like I talked about session zero and stuff like that with them. And I would talk about their roles and stuff like that. And by the time I got to like the third or fourth one, I was just like, man, I'm scared to do this, but I'm gonna actually try and write the dialogue as if like it's actually happening as a dialogue. And it just, like I said, for me, for what I am used to, I think after the first month, there was like 100,000 people that were being reached by it, according to like the analytics I was getting online, which is
Wow.
far more than I'd ever experienced. And the more I posted of a story, like in my mind, I was like, I think I'm a good artist, or I'm an okay artist, but I've never really thought of myself as a good writer. And more people were like, we really, really, really want this to be a full story. We really want this to be fleshed out. So after I'd been doing it for 3 or 4 months, and I'm going to guess probably close to 100 to 200 people have said, will you make this a book? Are you going to make this a book? And I finally was like, yes, I'm going to say it. I'm going to try and make this into a book. So that's where we're at now. It's the story of this rogue and this wizard and their adventures with this MacGuffin skull that they find, and a plot hook that has a lot of kind of tabletop RPG elements to it. But that's it's a fantasy story.
Well, Jonathan, that is incredible. And I know there are tons of Rogue Magic fans who are super excited about the book coming out. And I know that it's still very early on for you in the writing process, but we are super excited about it coming out. Just reading the adventures of Drake and is it Sadra? Is that how you say it?
I think it's pronounced Sidira.
Sadira. Oh, that's even better. So Drake and Sadira, just reading their adventures. One, I love the episodes with the skull, but I am so much more excited now that they have the little sidekick goblin. As a gamer of over 30 years, it has always been a thrill as a dungeon master for the characters to kind of adopt an NPC or that character that they kind of meet, and he's either a plot hook or a nuisance or sometimes even an enemy, and they end up just taking him along. And one of your most recent posts, when I was reading through it, and how they're leaving the village and they don't really expect the goblin to come with them, but he sees them leaving and he's got to get on the wagon too. And it brought me back to Skyrim as well. Here they are getting on the wagon and getting out of Dodge. And I just really enjoyed all of those elements. And for the first little bit, I actually thought that the story was based off of a campaign or off of player characters and that sort of thing. So kind of knowing the origin of Rogue Magic is very, very cool. And I actually think it makes it even better that you came up with this all from working on your art and getting better at your art. I think that is just an amazing story. So thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned some of those elements, because This is not something that happened in our game, but it seems like as I interact with people and hear the stories of their games, there's always Boblin the Goblin who ends up joining the party. And so I wanted there to be things like that in it that were clear nods to experiences people have. And even stuff like just riding in the back of the wagon. I don't know why, but like that's one of those things that's like, well, that's got to happen at some point. Like they've got to be riding in the back of the goblin. They've got to be, chained up in the dungeon at one point. They've got to have these moments. And I've really liked, as someone who's played the game now and someone who's, read these stories and stuff, to be like, well, man, shoot, I've run games. I know the elements that are fun and to get to try to include those. So I'm glad you mentioned some of those things. And I am sorry, I feel kind of bad because I do know there were people who, based on the way I described it, thought it was from an actual game, and which I guess kind of makes me happy, but I wasn't really trying to trick anyone either.
No hard feelings here. It's challenging as a dungeon master, especially if I have players at my table who have run through almost every classic module that there's ever been. It's a challenge for me to kind of come up with something other than guard the caravan or meet in a tavern. But what I love about the gaming community is we have a love for those things. Like you said, meeting the group in a dungeon, all having been captured, meeting in a tavern, those kind of things we could do every Friday night, and it wouldn't hurt our feelings one bit. One of the best things about gaming with children is they don't have these preconceived ideas, right? They
So
don't
you're
have.
brilliant when you throw this scenario at them. That's like, oh my goodness, that's so good.
Yes. You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of that 90s movie called Reign of Fire. It's a post-apocalyptic setting, but it has dragons, right? And there's one scene where two of the heroes are
Oh
putting on a
yeah.
play for the children, and they're doing Star Wars the best they can from their memories from before the world was destroyed. And the
Yep.
children say, "Did you write that?" And they said, Yes, we did." And
Yep, I remember that.
it's that same feeling when you're like, okay, you're gonna guard you meet in a tavern, you're gonna guard a caravan, goblins attack, and children are just floored because for them, it's the very first time. And for you as the parent running the game for them, it becomes the first time for you again all over. And it's one of those unexpected surprise enjoyments of introducing the game to your family. We had a 2-year campaign. So when my children were small, we did one shots and pre-generated characters, things like that. I'd say they got about maybe 8, 9, and 10. And they said, "We really want to make our own characters and we want to, build them from scratch." So we spent a whole Gary Gygax day making them pencil and paper, rolling D6s, all of that. And that turned into a 2-year campaign. So the campaign really became a more of a introduction to the monster manual. Like every session was a different location, different obstacles, different bad guys. And I'll never forget when I was describing a gnoll for the first time, and they were just, "Wait, it's got a hyena's head, but a man's body, and what's going on?" It was just incredible, not knowing that trolls regenerated. And they fight the troll, and one of the heroes was like, "I'm going to keep one of those big teeth." So he grabs one of the big teeth, and it starts pulsating, and it starts growing in a new troll, and they freak out, right? And so just being able to introduce those tropes to them, it makes it just adds a whole other level to it. I hope that someday soon you're going to get to that level with yours. So for the folks who aren't already following you are Far Stride 7 on Instagram. Is that right?
I am. Instagram's, I don't know of a great way of sharing literature on Instagram. So predominantly I'd say I'm on Facebook. But yeah, Far Stride 7 is my tag on Instagram, and it's linked to my Facebook page, where if you want to actually read any of the snippets of the story I've shared, and if you want probably to find the more reliable stuff, it's going to, you can just follow that to the Facebook page. But yeah, Far Stride 7.
And how do they find you on Facebook without going to Instagram?
If you're on Insta, or if you're on Facebook, if you, I think, again, if you look up Far Stride 7, it's going to take you to me. Or if you just go to facebook.com/Far Stride or Far Stride 7, the page's title is Jonathan F. Did an Art.
Jonathan F. Did an Art. Okay, good. And fantastic. And so, and we're going to put that link, those of you listening to the podcast, we're going to put that link right on raisedondnd.com. So when you're listening to this episode, you can go there, and in the episode notes, you'll be able to click on Jonathan's Facebook or on his Instagram, either way, and you get to see his amazing art and get to read the story as it's progressing currently with Rogue Magic. Jonathan, I can't thank you enough. Thank you so much for everything that you've done for the gaming community with your beautiful art and your character sheets. And thank you now for sharing Rogue Magic with us. And we're hoping that you're able to finish it and that we're able to see it maybe this year, maybe next. But if there is like a Kickstarter in your future or an Indiegogo where you know, you're going to have the fans come together and rally behind this book, you let us know, because we're going to let everybody know, because I know that there are a lot of folks who would love to help you out to get that published and to have a physical copy of Rogue Magic in their hand.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you for joining us on another episode of Raised on D&D Podcast. Be sure to subscribe and follow on all your favorite apps and social media.